Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Knees of the Day AFC podcast. I'm Josh Taylor, and on today's episode, we have another guest for our 2024 NISA season preview, as we have Michigan Stars FC Chief Operating Officer Chris McAnally join the show. Chris gives us his takeaways on the Stars 2023 NISA season as the club looks to redeem themselves after they lost 1-0 to Flower City Union in the NISA Championship Final after winning a championship the previous season. Chris also shared with us the club's plans to improve the fan experience at Romeo Stadium and gives us insight on the club's remodeling of their front office by adding personnel in sales, marketing, and social media in the club's growing front office. And finally, Chris shares with us his thoughts on the NISA season schedule and format, the U.S. Open Cup, and his message to all the Stars fans out there as the club tries to go for its third consecutive NISA Championship Final appearance and bring another championship trophy to the state of Michigan. So here it is, guys. I got another exciting interview with Michigan Stars FC COO, Chris McAnally. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Knees of the Day FC podcast. I'm Josh Taylor, and joining us this evening for our 2024 NISA season preview is Michigan Stars FC Chief Operating Officer Chris McAnally. Chris, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Josh.
Chris, I know it's been a while since I last saw you. Last time I saw you was at the NISA Championship Final in Michigan, and I know a lot has changed since then. What you fill us in on what's been going on with the Stars since the final?
Yeah, sure. Well, last time we met, I probably wasn't in a good mood after not winning that final. But we took a month off after the season was over, and then really got back after it. Sometime around the middle of December, we had been having a lot of discussions with internal discussions. And then we had some discussions with some other leagues. We were thinking about making the switch to go to another league. And we really took a look at our organization and ourselves and realized that maybe we weren't exactly ready to make that jump. And so we've been doing a lot of in-house cleaning and also looking for individuals to help us in areas that we just felt we needed some help with. So we've been doing a lot of work to look at the brand, to look at the image of the Michigan Stars, and to really figure out what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong as an organization. So we decided as an organization that we needed to step up our sales and marketing teams, and really for the first time put an emphasis on bringing some money into the organization, on finding some companies to sponsor us, and looking for those types of individuals that have connections and also a background in sales and marketing. So that team is now in place. We've got a social media person who's starting shortly, which will then take the social media stuff off of my plate. And, you know, for the last couple months, I've had my GM hat on. So I've been talking to a ton of agents, talking to a ton of players, and doing my best to assemble a team to compete for another championship this season. So it's been busy, and you know, we feel pretty good about the team that we've been putting together so far this year, and we still have a couple of holes I think to fill. So we're still looking for a couple of players, but we feel pretty good. We're pretty close, and we're excited to kick this thing off in another week and a half or 2 weeks.
Now, Chris, I know the Stars have been in preseason training since February 5th, last month. How have the guys been looking so far in training?
Well, it's a long process. You do tryouts. So we had two tryouts this season. One was players with agents, and one was players without agents. So it's the first time we've really separated them, and it turned out pretty good. So you bring in a handful of guys, and that's really, really how you start. And we probably picked 20 guys out of those two tryouts. And then it's just, you look back at the team that we had last season, and we knew there were some guys we wanted to keep. We knew there were some guys that needed to move on. And, you know, that's really how you start to build a team. And fortunately, we got some of our guys back that we wanted from last season, and we found a bunch of good players, not only through those tryouts, but also just literally nonstop talking to agents and talking to players and talking to former players who have friends. And, you know, you reach out to everybody to try to put a team together. And I think we've got, the last I looked, I think there's 20 guys that we have signed. And we're looking for another 3, 4, 5 guys to round out our lineup for the 2024 season.
Now, you have had some preseason matches recently against Panathinaikos FC Chicago into Detroit. And you guys were in Canada this past weekend taking on Toronto FC 2. How has the team been looking out so far in these preseason matchups?
Yeah, so that game in Canada was canceled. They had some travel issues coming back. I think they were in Florida or Miami. I don't exactly know where they were coming back from, but they had some travel issues. So that game was postponed. Yeah, we played the team from Chicago, and I don't exactly remember what the score was, but we beat them pretty handily. And we had Inter Detroit, which is another local team that, you know, is pretty good from around here. And we handled them pretty easily as well. So we've got some, you know, there's some things we have to fix, obviously. But just getting guys a chance to play and really trying to get a team to gel and to play some games before the Open Cup is really what we're trying to do. So, you know, as a league, I think we struggle with getting games, meaningful games, before the Open Cup. And that's where other teams and leagues have the advantage over NISA. And I know they tried to get some games with the bubble prior to the Open Cup games, but it just didn't work out this season. So we have to do it on our own. We have to, you know, we have to find some teams that are good in our area, which is difficult. We're the only, besides Detroit City, it's just the two of us in this town, and we don't really like each other, so we don't scrim at each other. So everything else is either a college team or, you know, an amateur team that, and some of those are pretty good around here. So, but we're, you know, we've played pretty well so far, and we're excited about the direction that the team's going. And once we fill a couple more spots, I think we'll be ready to go.
Now, Chris, I want our audience to know a little bit more about your background. So I was just curious, how did you get yourself involved in the game of soccer?
Well, I played soccer, I think, from the first grade, 5 years old, 6 years old. And I feel like I'm an older guy now. I'm 51. And back then, high school soccer was still important. So I played up through high school and went to Clemson University on a soccer scholarship and played 2 years of soccer and then had a chance to play professionally. And it was always a dream of mine to play professional soccer. So I took advantage of that situation and played for a season and then went back to school and wanted to finish my education. And so I decided to try out for football. And football was a sport that I had never played before. And I figured kicking a soccer ball was pretty similar to kicking a football. And so I tried out. And 6 weeks later, I was starting in my first ever football game for Clemson and was awarded the special teams player of the week. And I thought this was pretty easy. And then the next game, I got completely smashed and sent on my back with a cheap shot and realized that this was football and people can get hurt in football. But all in all, I had a pretty good career. I spent 3 years playing football and had tryouts in the NFL with three different teams, the St. Louis Rams, the Carolina Panthers, and then I was in training camp with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I didn't make it and gave up on my football career and really gave up on soccer as well. I figured I had made it through my whole soccer career without getting injured. And my knees are good. My back is good. So I decided to hang it up. And at some point in time, I started missing it and missing sports in my life. You know, once you're, when you grow up with sports and it leaves you, I think you need a way to burn off energy, to get the metabolism going, to get the energy going, the heartbeat going. And getting back into sports was something that I needed to do. So, I opened an 80 acre soccer complex. We have, full 11 by 11 indoor field as well as 23 outdoor fields. And we don't have anything like that in Michigan. So I figured it was time to open a complex like that. So after we were open for 3 years and then COVID hit and really destroyed us. And the state was shut down for youth sports and it was impossible at that point to keep the doors open. And so George and his team had been playing here and we had a friendship going and George purchased the facility from me. And we've been really working with the Stars ever since. So I really started with the Michigan Stars, volunteering my time, helping with travel. And just trying to help George because he was doing this by himself. And I tried to help George with a couple of organizational tasks. And it really, we worked well together. And then as the time went by, my role just continued to increase. And 2 years ago, I was named GM of the team and put the team together and we won a championship from it. And last year I was still doing GM duties and put another team together that, unfortunately we lost in the finals, but, two years of putting a team together and winning it and losing in the finals is a pretty good start. And then, this season, I'm still doing GM stuff, but my roles have increased and now the COO of Michigan Stars. And really, there's a lot of stuff that falls on my plate now. And I really have trying to bolster the fan base, to try to get more revenue from marketing and sales dollars for George, and really just trying to change the overall image of the Michigan Stars. And we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Chris, and I just wanted to, follow up with your experience, being the GM the last 2 years. What was that experience like for you, and how you feel that helped kind of lead you into your new role now, being the chief operating officer for the Michigan Stars?
Well, it's a lot of decision making. It's a lot of really evaluating everything, and it's, a GM, you're constantly looking at the team. You're constantly looking to see if the team is gelling, if the staff is working well with the team. And you're just constantly looking at that and making sure that guys are still understanding their roles and responsibilities. And so you're constantly analyzing and watching pretty much everything that goes on, and evaluating everything that goes on, from travel to coaching to playing to pretty much everything, eating, resting, looking at every aspect of the team. And so you have to make tough decisions, and you make tough decisions based on a team, and you have to, sometimes you have to look past friendships and in order to do your job. And, that means coaching changes, that means player changes, and those are hard decisions, and you really spend a lot of time with these people and have friendships with these people, and everything about their families, and to have to make those tough decisions, those are difficult times. And so it's really, it's a lot of decision making. It's a lot of figuring out what's working, what's not working, analyzing if a change is made, does it help the team, does it hurt the team? So all those decisions are made with a great deal of thinking. And a lot of times you're talking to players, a lot of times you're talking to groups of players. So it's difficult. It's sometimes emotional, but at the end of the day, my job is to win championships, and I have to do what I think is right for the team to win a championship. And really, that's all of my decisions are made so that the team can win a championship, and that I'm doing my job in the best way that I can.
Now, Chris, as you mentioned, you are now the chief operating officer for the club, which brings on new responsibilities. And I know you've been focusing on hiring additional staff, like for your front office, focusing on sales, marketing, game day operations, social media, stuff you mentioned earlier. How has that process been going for you as you are building up your front office for the upcoming season?
I mean, it's a process. I think you look internally at people that have helped out with our team in the past. And luckily, we have some people that have been volunteering their time for the past 2-3 years. So we have a relationship with them already, and it just gives them an opportunity to prove their worth and to really help me out and get things that that we've never done before. And there's a lot of PowerPoint presentations, there's a lot of spreadsheets, there's a lot of analysis that goes into everything. And so just being able to have people that I have a relationship previously with has helped that process. But, you know, we have a youth club with 3,000 kids, and there's a lot of individuals that are in that youth club that have minor roles with the pro team. So it's, you know, tapping on some of those people to help as well with the process. We have some guys on the team that are looking for additional work and additional things to do. So I've tapped them on the shoulder to try to help out. So I want people that are passionate. I want people that have the Michigan Stars' best interest. And I want to find people that this is a passion for them and they enjoy being around the team and the staff and myself. And, you know, they'll really put the work in and the time in to be successful and to help the Michigan Stars out.
Now, last year, I heard rumors that were speculated on social media that the Stars might be leaving NISA and stuff like that. And I know you talked about earlier that you and George had some meetings with different leagues and everything before you guys decided to come back to NISA. I was just curious, Chris, from your perspective, if you can share any insights on what factors kind of led to your decision to come back to NISA for this year.
Well, like I said, we looked at ourselves internally and realized that we're probably not ready to make the jump to a different league yet. You know, money is a big factor. You're joining, you know, some of these leagues are $10 million, $15 million to get into. And I think you have to look at yourself as an organization and realize, are you ready from a staff standpoint? Are you ready from a facility standpoint? You know, is your brand, is your crowd, are your crowds big enough to support a move? So I think at the end of the day, we just took a look at everything and figured maybe it's best to go into NISA for another season. Let's get our team off the field in place and really take this year as a learning year. And while the costs are a little bit cheaper to be in NISA than other leagues, let's learn from this season. Let's try to find some things that work and learn from things that don't work. So that's really what some of the decisions that we were analyzing, and at the end we just decided let's come back to NISA for another season, and let's just use this as a practice season for our staff, and let's just find some things that work before we make the jump into the next level.
Now, you guys did announce some changes to the front office, you know, things you guys are focusing on for off the field, you know, trying to bring more fans to Romeo Stadium. Was that like some of the feedback you got from your conversations with other leagues this offseason?
No, it was mainly, I mean, listen, it costs a lot of money to play professional soccer, and to make that jump is really a lot of money. And we need to build a fan base. We need to figure out ways to get people to watch the game. We have to figure out ways of bringing in money to this organization, so we can do more things. We can, we can afford to make the jump to other leagues. So those are really the driving factors into why we came back to NISA. You know, there's things we have to work on. There's things we have to get better at. And I think you can see the teams that have made jumps from this league to different teams. You know, they all have, you know, some of the same things in common that we're looking to go towards. So it's a good front office. It's a good marketing and sales team, and a good brand. And that's what we're looking to create going forward.
Now, what can Stars fans expect different from you guys this season relating to kind of creating more of a fan experience over at Romeo Stadium? I know you mentioned previously that you guys have a strong connection with the youth soccer teams in the Metro Detroit area. But what other things are you guys looking at? Maybe like doing some theme nights throughout the season, mascots, you know, getting corporate sponsors out for a game during the season to help you expand that brand awareness for the Michigan Stars FC.
Yeah, so we're creating, I mean, there's a bunch of things, but we're creating a VIP section. So we're going to have some seats that are very close to the field. And those, we haven't really released that information yet, but that's one of the things we're working on. There's going to be four sections of really VIP seating that's, you know, our stadium is unique. It has a lot of room behind the goals that are turfed. And after looking at the field, we just figured, you know what, let's try to utilize some of this area. So we're going to have some fans that are sitting in those areas. And I think that's trying to create something unique and something that creates a value for fans. So you're sitting closer, you can hear things. You can see how fast the ball's moving. You can just see different points of the game that might be different than your view from the stands. So that's one thing. We're looking at purchasing a mascot. That's in the works. We've rebranded and switched from Hummel to Adidas this season to try to create more of an interest in our apparel sales and. So that is happening. There's some surprises that we're going to announce on social media in the next couple of days of some additional things that we're doing for this season. But really, we've just taken a look at our game day experience and really doing as much as we can to create an atmosphere that's fun for the family and fun for kids that show up. So we're doing as much as we can to enhance the family entertainment for games this season, and with hopes that will bring not only our families from the youth club out, but also families from the surrounding area. We live in a very populated section of Michigan. There's millions of people that live within an hour radius of here, and just to try to create a buzz around the team and an excitement for what we're trying to create. And hopefully that those changes and the enhancements that we're making on game day will bring fans in and will bring some excitement.
During the 2023 NISA season, you guys finished in second place. You guys were coming off winning the championship the previous season. You made it back to the final. This time around, it didn't go the way you guys wanted to go as your quest to repeat as champions again came up short, losing 1-0 to Flower City Union. Chris, now that you kind of had some time to look back at the 2023 season for the Michigan Stars, what were some of your takeaways?
Well, I think there's a lot of positive that came out of last season. For us, obviously, we finished second, which was the highest finish that the Michigan Stars team has had in their history. So that was really the first positive and biggest positive, I think, that came out of last season. Every year that you do this, you continue to learn things and you just get better and more refined at certain things. So I think, you know, we made some small changes that really helped along the way with travel and meals and stuff like that. So I think that helps a lot. But you know, we still made a coaching change midway through the season, which we've done now for the last couple of seasons. And you know, those are always tough, and really those are very difficult decisions. And you know, I just think we have to get more stable and better with our coaching staff, and really so we can build you know, year after year with the teams and with the coaching staff. So that's something we're looking to work on this season. But you know, obviously there's a lot of teams that want to get to where we got, and you know, it still hurts to look back at that game, and you know, I still think we were the better team. We just played our worst game of the season at the most important time, and we had a lot of guys that were nervous. I think we had some guys that kind of took it for granted that we were just going to win, and you know, it just didn't work out. We didn't have a shot on goal. We just couldn't. It just wasn't Michigan Stars soccer. And give them some credit; they came in flying, and they had nothing to lose. And you know, they beat us on a goal, and that went through Garrett Hogman's legs. I mean, it's just random stuff that happens sometimes. Sometimes you just don't get the luck that you need to win. And we just had no luck that game. We didn't have any energy. Like, it just wasn't a good game for us. So we made some changes with player personnel after the season. And, you know, there were some things that were happening during the season that we didn't like, and some attitudes and just some players that I think took what we were doing for granted. And, you know, those players made it frustrating at times, but like I said, you learn from everything you do. And now this is my third season putting a team together. So there's definitely things in players that you look for, and hopefully I can figure out and hopefully I've picked guys on this team that that are hungry, that want to win, and you know, can bring us back to the championship again this season.
Now, you talked about the coaching situation for the Michigan Stars for this upcoming season, and I know George Junkai filled in, you know, to finish the season last year. I know you told me before we got on the call here for the podcast that Ennis is going to be back with the team. And then I was curious about that. And are you guys still looking to add to the coaching staff as you guys get closer to the season kicking off soon?
Yeah, so I'm doing a lot more of the work that George has done previously, and that was part of my promotion was so that he could spend more time coaching, because he really enjoys coaching and being with the guys. So between him and Ennis, they've been doing a good job so far of getting the team ready. We have a player that's going to also help out coaching this season. And we're going to finalize his contract here in the next couple days. So he can not only be a player, but also learn how to be an assistant coach and really help out with a lot of different functions of the team. But we're still looking for another coach to help us through this season. And we've got a couple of guys that are here now that have been working with us. So, you know, just need to discuss contracts. We just need to discuss roles and figure out if either of these guys that are here now are going to continue with us, or if I have to go out and find somebody else. But right now it's George and Ennis and this player that we'll announce here shortly, helping us out, and probably one more coming on board here soon.
Speaking of player announcements, the Stars did announce a couple players that are coming back today. You guys announced that Andres Schalbaugh is coming back, and Niles Locke is coming back as well. Can you just give us some insight on why you decided to bring these guys back to the team?
Niels is he's a big kid. He was young last year. He played a kind of an off the bench type role for us. Scored a goal in one of the games last season, and so he's coming back. We thought he was, you know, we thought he made a lot of improvement last season, and so he's coming back. And Andreas is one of the longest tenured guys from the Stars, and he's a great player, and he just continues to get better every season. And we were excited to have him come back, but you know, there's a bunch of new faces. So as we continue to announce a couple each day, there's a bunch of new faces that we're excited to have and to announce, and you know, a handful of the guys from last year that we'll announce here in the next few days as well. But you know, those two guys they're great teammates, they're great people, and really do a great job of keeping this team together and really bringing some of what we look for in players to the forefront, and really have been great at helping the new guys really learn the Michigan Stars way. And you know, they were on our list from day one, and we're happy to have them back this season.
Now, Chris, it's been a long wait, but last week, Nisa announced the full schedule. I know you guys have been waiting for quite a while, like the rest of us, you know, waiting on the schedule, but the league finally announced the full schedule and for the season. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts on the format, because it'll be different from last year where we had a single table. You'll have the East Conference and the West Conference. Of course, you guys being in Michigan, you'll be in the Eastern Conference. And then, you know, your first game is in a couple weeks. You'll be taking on Capo FC down in Georgia. On the website, it says to be announced for the location, but we know the date. It'll be on March 26th. So just want to get your thoughts on the schedule and your thoughts on your first game coming up soon.
Yeah, so I mean, we really found out about the schedule the same time everybody else did. We've been waiting for it and excited for it to come out. And of course, our Open Cup game was or is on the 21st, and our first scheduled game was the 23rd. So of course, as soon as the schedule comes out, there needs to be a change to it to accommodate our Open Cup game. So that game, that change happened. So we play the 26th and 29th in Atlanta or near Atlanta. So we're excited. We're excited for the Open Cup. We go down to Pittsburgh to play a game there. Then we come home and then basically head right out the next day and get into Atlanta. So, I mean, this is the exciting part. The games are the exciting part. You put a lot of time and energy into getting to this point. And, you know, we're excited to see how the team's going to react and how we play against other NISA teams. And really, we're just excited to get the season going and stop scrimmaging each other and stop killing each other in practice. And you know, we're excited to kill some other people on other teams instead, and you know, bring the mentality of the Stars you know, to play other teams, and you know, bring the hatred that other teams have for us, and really the us against the world mentality that we've had the last couple seasons. And you know, we'll see how tough these guys are on our team, and hopefully they respond accordingly to what they're going to face when we go to different stadiums, and you know, the yelling that comes from fans on the opposing team. And you know, we'll see how these guys react. A lot of them are, you know, not a lot of them, but some of them, it's their first time playing pro, and you know, they're used to the college game, and you know, travel is a little different and grueling here in the pros. And we practice more, we practice harder, and we really I really try to stress to the guys that every rep is important in practice, and every shot on goal, I want you to focus and make that shot, you know, the best shot you can make in that situation. But we're looking forward to the season, and, you know, hopefully, you know, it's basically a new team. We only have a few guys back from last season, and let's hope the changes that I've made are positive, and, you know, we can head back for another championship.
Now, Chris, the league also did announce that your rivals, Gold Star FC, they will be on hiatus this year. So they're planning to come back in 2025 under a different name, because the league mentioned that they're going to have new ownership. So I just wanted your thoughts on, you know, being in that ride with the Michigan Starby, as you guys called it, you know, because that's not going to happen this year. So I just want your thoughts on that rivalry there. And then, you know, I know you guys having Gold Star nearby, you know, have close away opponent. So you have your fans go travel and stuff like that. But that's going to kind of affect you guys a bit too, especially because you're going to, even though you're in the East Coast, you're going to play 20 games against the Eastern Conference opponents. So, but still a bit of traveling involved. So I was just curious your thoughts on that.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Obviously, those are games that they're fun. You see quite a few players that have tried out for our team and didn't make it. And, you know, you see them over there. There's a lot of Michigan guys that have local ties that you know. So that's kind of disappointing that the team isn't there. But, you know, financially, it's also a disappointment. We, you know, those were free games for us. It was 45 minutes down the road. So there's no hotels, there's no travel, there's no meals for the guys. So that part is frustrating. And, you know, we put a budget together and really that they were in, as far as we knew, until almost right before the season was announced. So you're putting a budget together and then that just goes haywire because they're not in it. So now now our closest team is an 11-hour drive. And, you know, it's disappointing. We're in the East, but really the East, we're really in the North, but there is no North. But, you know, all of our games are flights or long drives, and it's going to be a long season, and there really are, you know, there's no easy trips. There's, you know, last year Flower City was 5-6 hours from us because we could cut through Canada, and so those trips were, that was a pretty easy trip, and Gold Star obviously was an easy trip, but, you know, now the closest team is Maryland, and it's 10-11 hour drive, and it's a long drive, and you know, then we've got Atlanta, we've got Savannah, we've got Club de Leon in Florida. So, I mean, there really are no easy games, and traveling is going to be difficult and expensive. And that part is frustrating. And, you know, you look into the West and, you know, there's three teams within 20 minutes and, you know, their travel is going to be nothing. And the fourth team is Arizona. And we made that trip when we were in preseason a couple of years ago. You drive through the desert and it's 3-4 hours from Arizona to the teams in California. So, I mean, they're getting off easy by having all those teams in the same general area. And, you know, they're going to be fresh, and the East is going to wear down, I think. And the travel is difficult, and, you know, it's going to be long trips every weekend, for us playing in the East.
Now, Chris, I just want to get your thoughts. I know you talked about the Open Cup briefly, about your first opponent, Steel City FC, but as you know, the Open Cup and what's been going on there has been the news the last couple of weeks. So I know you being a GM and now being the CEO of a lower division soccer side, like the Michigan Stars, You know, just kind of got want to get your perspectives on your club being involved in the Open Cup and kind of like where you see it going from here. Because, you know, we have the way it's setting up with the format, you know, you'll get through the first round, hopefully, and then you play the next game. And then later on, you got the USL championship teams like Indy 11. And then if you make it further, then you might get one of the MLS clubs. But just your thoughts on the Open Cup in general, because, you know, you got that matchup coming up soon.
Yeah, I think the Open Cup is very unique to soccer. You don't get that in any other sports. And it's really a fun tournament. And it really allows not only our players, but our staff to see how other teams run. And it really is one of the only times that you can compare yourself to organizations that are a step higher than you, or sometimes two steps higher than you. So it's a good opportunity for our players to take a look at how they play compared to guys in USL Championship play or how guys in the MLS play. And it really gives them an opportunity to look in the mirror and look at themselves and their play and realize, you know, are they at that level? Are they, can they play in the MLS? Can they play in USL Championship? You know, it's an opportunity for those teams who will be, you know, they'll be scouting us, they'll be scouting our game film. Some of our players will get a really good look by some teams that are above us. And it gives those guys an opportunity, because at the end of the day, we want what's best for the guys and the players. And if they have an opportunity to go to USL Championship, or they have an opportunity to go to the MLS, or they have an opportunity to go to Europe, you know, we're all for that. That's what we're here for. We're here to develop players. We're here to take younger guys and give them some experience and set them free into higher leagues. So that's really what we try to do each season. And, I think it's a shame that some of the MLS teams are not interested in playing. And, I understand it. They're trying to separate themselves from, like the NFL doesn't play games like this. The NBA doesn't play games like this. The NHL doesn't play games like this. So they're trying to separate themselves. And I get it. It's $1 billion to play or to start an MLS team once you build a stadium and the franchise fee. So, you know, they need to separate themselves. And there really wasn't much emphasis put on the games when they play USL Championship teams or NISA teams anyways. But, you know, for lower league soccer, it's big. It's big to have an opportunity to play guys that are ahead of you and really to compete and just see what your skills are, see what your competitive level is, see what your fitness level is, and really see how you stack up against some of the teams that are above you and some of the players that are above you.
Now, Chris, before I let you go, I just want to ask you, what is your message to all the Michigan Stars fans out there as you guys get ready for the upcoming season in NISA?
Yeah, well, we've got a lot of new faces and a lot of guys that are hungry and are really trying to prove themselves in professional soccer. So I think the fans, when they show up to the game, will see hard-nosed, tough players that are physical, that are in condition, that really want to take their game to the next level and really want to see the Michigan Stars get back to a championship opportunity again this season. So I think you're going to see, a different team. We're looking for a few different types of players. So you'll see an aggressive team, an attacking team. And, it's at the same time, we hope the experience at the home games is, is better, and we hope that you see a considerable difference in the way that we handle a game from our game day staff and our operations team. So hopefully the experience is better, the team is better, and we leave our games with happy customers so that they'll want to come back to see us again.
Michigan Stars FC Chief Operating Officer Chris McAnally, thank you so much for joining us on the Needs of the Day FC podcast.
Thanks, Josh. Appreciate it.
I want to take a moment to thank Michigan Stars FC Chief Operating Officer Chris McAnally for joining us on our show today. And with that, that will conclude this edition of the Needs of the Day FC podcast. If you guys have any comments, feedback, or suggestions, you can reach out to me on X. My handle is at JT_Taylor88. You can also reach out to me on our blog website. It's www.NeesOfTheDayFCPodcast.com. And if you guys like the show and want to keep up with all the latest updates, you can follow us on our social media handles. We're on Facebook at NeesOfTheDayFC. We're on Instagram at Nisa_TodayFC. We're on Threads at Nisa_TodayFC at threads.net. And we're also on X at Nisa_TodayFC. You guys enjoy the rest of your week. I will have another recap episode out for you guys later this week and possibly more interviews, but I'll keep posting on that. Until then, you guys take care of yourselves, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now.